President Akufo-Addo that political opponents have targeted him and his party with a coordinated campaign of misinformation and disinformation.
I was the target of numerous false and malicious stories aimed at attacking my credibility and integrity. A fabricated document entitled "A Japadia" is being peddled around by operatives of the opposition as evidence of a grand scheme by my party to annex the state, the assets of the state.
The president's concern with the Ejapadea document, as people keep saying, should be more about a sober reflection.
Plus, we tell you why the NDC is already vowing to resist government's national action plan against misinformation and disinformation, which is currently before cabinet.
If we want to pass any other action plan, let it be a legislative instrument. There are many lawyers in this room, to the Right to Information Act. But anything coming from this cabinet, I completely disagree with.
We have the latest from a packed Ghana Report Summit on disinformation and misinformation ahead of the 2024 elections, where the information minister has stirred controversy by announcing that government plans to pass the controversial broadcasting bill under a certificate of urgency. Always brought to you by Telecel, connecting energies, holy insecticide spray, and coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Now, tonight, the opposition National Democratic Congress is fighting off accusations by President Akufo-Addo that political opponents have targeted him and his party with a coordinated campaign of misinformation and disinformation. Speaking at the Ghana Report Summit on misinformation and disinformation on the upcoming elections, the president recounted how a disinformation plot was hatched to attack his reputation.
Disinformation campaigns often exploit societal divisions and amplify existing tensions, posing a risk to social cohesion. We've witnessed how such campaigns can incite violence and disrupt public order, as seen in other parts of the world. In the run-up to the 2008, 2012, and 2016 presidential elections, and Madam Sani, I'm not here to settle scores, I was the target of numerous false and malicious stories aimed at attacking my credibility and integrity. In 2008, baseless allegations of drug trafficking were spread, along with numerous rumors about my health, intended to cast doubt on my ability to serve as president. President Kufuor was also accused in 2008 of having sold all of Ghana's gold reserves. Again, the 2012 election saw false reports of my alleged arrest in London for drug possession and fabricated quotes designed to stir ethnic tensions. In 2016, it was alleged by sympathizers of the opposition that I had killed my late wife. Today, with a few months to the December 2024 elections, they are at it again. A fabricated document entitled "A Japadia" is being peddled around by operatives of the opposition as evidence of a grand scheme by my party to annex the state, the assets of the state. These experiences underscore the importance of discerning truth from falsehood, and the need for all of us to remain vigilant against the dangers of misinformation and disinformation.
Well, this has attracted some sharp reactions from the opposition National Democratic Congress. Their Director of Elections, Dr. Omane Boamah, who was at this particular event, had a strong response for the president on the issues that he raised there, particularly on the subject of the Ejapadia document, which I believe you may have seen circulated on social media.
mentioning Ejapade, I had never read the document. And when Ochehine mentioned it, I told myself, I have to read this document. The president has mentioned the Ejapade document again. It gives me more encouragement to go and read the document.
So
but when you talk to people who have read the document, what they say is that the author of the document must either be a Nostradamus who foresaw what the MPP was going to do. So rather, I think the president's concern with the Ejapade document, as people keep saying, should be more about a sober reflection. How come I campaigned to protect the public purse? How come I campaigned to develop Ghana? Yet this document is indicating that I came only for my people and for my clan. If I were the president, I'll be more concerned. I'm saying that instead of the president hastily blaming the opposition parties, the president should have a sober reflection about the content of the Ejapade document as people are pushing out there, and check how come he has fallen so low to have manifested these things in his government. Said that today, people who have read the document are saying that, that is the evidence. That is the evidence. How can the NDC be behind it? The president blames the NDC for everything. The president even blames the NDC for the economic mess in which his government has landed Ghanaians. The NDC, if you blame us, it's too late. You have 4 months more to conduct, to ensure that a free and fair election is conducted. What we expect the president to also say is that he is ready and willing to hand over to anyone who wins the 2024 December 7 presidential elections. He should depart from the pension to be saying that he's going to hand over to his running mate, his successor, his vice president. He must make a departure from that. The NDC.
Blessed Sogan was at this particular summit and joins me in the studio with more on this. And let's start with the this was said the state to be a really tense conversation between both the NDC reps there, Dr. Mani Buamai and George Bamukhtari, and Information Minister, who were all dealing with the subject of misinformation and disinformation.
And we must state that we had representation also from the judiciary. The Lady Chief Justice herself was there because the National Security Minister appears to be giving indication that Ghanaians do not have faith in a number of institutions, the faith level for these institutions that are responsible for mitigating election disputes appears to be waning. It's the reason for which now all of the political actors are trying to find some sort of a middle ground. All agree that indeed disinformation, misinformation poses another significant threat, a reason for which they must collectively deal with the problem. The solution from the government side is that let's go with a national action plan that will tackle this whole problem, and that will also collectively address the issue of people peddling falsehood, as the president has indicated to us that he has been personally a subject of. It's the reason for which the NDC believes that the government is not getting things right. Because in terms of the approach, the NDC believes that you are just under 200 days away from the elections. This so-called national action plan is at the cabinet level, and government may not have enough time to exhaust it before the 2024 general elections. Is the reason for which the former communications minister, Dr. Omane Boama, raised some concerns about the approach that pragmatically must be used going into the 2024 general elections. He believes that squarely all of this should be placed in the remit of civil society, who would now name and shame all of the persons, platforms that are disseminating disinformation or misinformation. For him, that's the most practical way of dealing with the situation. Mm. But then you have the information minister saying, we have a track record of, first of all, bringing the RTI law. The president himself has led the charge in repealing criminal libel. So they have the record in terms of pushing things through and getting the strategic plan passed probably before the election so that we deal with misinformation, disinformation. It's the reason for which there was a heated debate between these two sides
and
on the matter.
And Omar Mohammed's fear is that this whole action plan may be employed to sort of control space and gag, you know, political opponents.
Ahead of the election.
I mean, listen to him.
Listening to Larry, I was thinking about the impact of technology itself on misinformation and disinformation, and what disinformation and misinformation is also doing to technology and the combination of the two on society. And it tells you, with internet in particular and the world in our palms, whatever comes out of our mouth, whatever comes out of our fingers can either create or destroy. He made incursions into something that I think His Excellency the President alluded to, which has to do with the National Action Plan, which is before Cabinet. My humble submission is that 4 months to an election, they would have to do a lot to subject the document to very broad consultation, lest it becomes a tool just to mute political opponents.
And we'll hear from the information minister his response to some of the concerns that you've just heard there raised by the Dr. Omani Bwama, who, by the way, is the director of elections for the NDC and also into ICT. And the concerns raised there were vehemently dismissed by the information minister.
Precisely. For the minister, their view is that, of course, they have the record when it comes to dealing with all of these issues, precisely looking at what it is that their government has done with the RTI law. And she then goes ahead to point out to some attempts that were made by the Ministry of Information and Government to try as much as possible to reach out to all of the political parties involved in the process. That includes a national stakeholders forum, which we understand was held a couple of months ago. The NDC, according to the minister, failed to show up. They did not present any official representation to deal with all of the issues that were coming up, and perhaps that might, according to the minister, have provided the platform for the NDC to raise the concerns that they are raising now. But then she goes ahead to talk about some of the interventions that we are likely to see. The fact that they plan to even go to the extent of passing some crucial legislation, which also possibly includes the broadcasting bill that may be done now under the certificate of agency, which the minister talks about at this forum.
The action plan and its development, it has come because over the past 2 years at the Ministry of Information, we've been preoccupied with engagements with key stakeholders, from MDAs to CSOs to media organizations, media associations, fact-checking institutions, the EU app developers. When we did the validation exercise on the action plan, they stated 64 stakeholders that upon approval by cabinet, we need to co-opt into a working committee to make inputs. And if you look at the list, I'm willing after today's engagement to share the draft document that we submitted to cabinet to Doc for his observation, so that he will have clarity that it is not intended to gag or to stop people from putting out information.
So what were they doing instead?
It is intended to give effect to our rights as Ghanaians with information, because spread of misinformation and disinformation are threats to right to information. But these are the key areas that the strategy is looking at. Media literacy, also we are talking about establishing a mechanism for reporting misinformation and disinformation. We are also talking about enhancing
fact-checking mechanisms. We are also talking about promoting ethical media practice, including establishment of fact-checking desks at various media houses, among others. And we're also talking about legislation. As I speak to you, we have the draft broadcasting bill before cabinet. I went around on a media tour to engage stakeholders that we intend to bring it before parliament under a certificate of urgency. And we hope that when it comes out of cabinet, there will be that consensus for us to be able to pass it.
Already, we're hearing from the Ghana Broadcasters Association of GEBA. They're raising issues about this announcement because this is not what they were told when they were consulting
so
on this
particular matter. The initial disagreement was between Omani Bouma's former communications minister and the current information minister, Fatih Abubakar. But then beyond that as well, there was the representative of the former president, who is now the flag bearer of the National Democratic Congress. Joyce Bauer Mukhtari speaks for John Mahama at this very event, representing him and also putting out what their position is on possibly having this bill go through before the elections. The NDC still maintains, even at this level, that if it will go before President Akufo-Addo's cabinet, this will be a no-no for them.
If we want to pass any other action plan, let it be a legislative instrument. There are many lawyers in this room, to the Right to Information Act. But anything coming from this cabinet, I completely disagree with. It will make no impact, it would have no solution, and certainly will only go to give credence to a certain perception that is out there. It is 7 years, 7 months too late.
But at the heart of this is what the state institution, the security agencies will do.
Yeah.
The IGP was also there. Any commitment from him on this?
He also, first of all, acknowledges that indeed there's a challenge with fake news, disinformation, or misinformation, which is creeping in deep ahead of the 2024 general elections. And for him, there are a number of factors that will need to be rolled out to tackle this. But he's also calling on Ghanaians to, first of all, support the security agencies in the event that they would want to now crack down on persons that are intentionally peddling falsehood. And beyond that as well, he says critical thinking must work.
The first point of call, which has been properly addressed by my colleagues and friend Evans Mensah, when he was talking about the production of the manufacturing unit of such misinformation and disinformation. And the sponsors, both financial influence and others, of such people. Let's deal with them in two ways. Through the principle of moral persuasion. Because some of them may not know. They are just being used for the parochial limited interest of an individual, a group, and therefore they just carry along and run with it. Persuasion will help some of them to get out of the trouble, even including some of the sponsors of these activities, when their conscience are pricked to the fact that why do you allow a personal limited interest to override a national interest, because your personal interest, when it survives and the national interest collapses, you have no interest. And if they fail, through the art of persuasion, work with us to use the full force of the law.
Today we got a unique insight into how government plans to approach this highly controversial broadcasting bill. The information minister was clear that it is going to go before parliament and it will attempt to pass this under a certificate of urgency. The Ghana Independent Broadcasters Association are weighing in on this. I want to bring in the president of the association, Cecil Sunkwa Mills, joins us right now. Samson Lala Yinini himself is a watcher of this space, very closely also joins us as a lawyer. Gentlemen, thanks for your time here on Top Story.
Welcome.
And Cecil, this is what the information minister said on this particular matter.
And we're also talking about legislation. As I speak to you, we have the draft broadcasting bill before cabinet. I went around on a media tour to engage stakeholders that we intend to bring it before Parliament under a certificate of urgency. And we hope that when it comes out of Cabinet, there will be that consensus for us to be able to pass it.
I mean, Cecil, the GEBA, the Independent Broadcast Association, have you been consulted on this? Do you know that this has been the plan all along? Hello, Mr. Mills. Okay, let's see if we can fix that particular line. This is something that they've been engaging government on for quite a while. But Samson, you've been also at the heart of trying to get this bill dealt with in a way that is consultative. At some point, part of this went to the courts and it failed. Now we're hearing from the information minister on the approach. Your reaction?
I believe that the apprehension should not be dismissed or written off. First of all, I am not aware the particular bill that is making the rounds at Cabinet as the minister speaks about. I have been very familiar with the processes for a very long time now, starting with the 2014 bill, broadcasting bill, to the next and to the 2019 bill, which was the point at which the brakes were applied, so to speak. Now, Evans, we have a media regulation landscape that in Ghana we have, unfortunately, the political leadership has for reasons best known to it. Of course, we know why. Decided to divert and divest the constitutionally mandated body, the power and authority to be in control of the space. That is the National Media Commission. And rather, set up an organization or an inferior body, which is the NCA, the National Communications Authority, and giving that authority almost power that is so dangerous, but in that authority, which is not constitutionally set up, in that authority, you have political persons from the very top to the end in that place, they behold to the president. And it can be very dangerous. Let me read a line for you from a document that was presented a couple of years ago by George Sapong of the National Media Commission on digital migration and the democratization of Africa's information space, threats and opportunities, a very small portion of it. He says, an example from Kenya may serve to illustrate the point. Following the general elections in 2017, the Rainbow Coalition, led by Raila Odinga, disputed incumbent Uhuru Kenyatta's victory, citing foul play, intimidation, and a rigged electoral system. As a symbol of opposition to the results, Raila Odinga swore himself in as president, even after Kenyatta's official ceremony. During Odinga's swearing in, digital channels were shut off. Make note of that. Digital channels were shut off under circumstances that pointed fingers towards government interference. Kenyans and the world got to follow events mainly because the country was in simulcast. The period of dual illumination when both digital and analog channels were still running. In the past couple of years, African governments have tried several methods to restrict information flow they consider unfavorable. So this is what we know is the danger terrain. We should get to know what is in this new bill, so to speak. In the other bill, we knew that some of the reasons why it never saw the light of day was that there were provisions that were going to restrict the, what do you call it, the monopolization of the media space by the rich, and particularly politically exposed persons. So if you are a politically exposed person, you will not be giving a frequency authorization license. We know, Evans, you and I know, there are things that we don't always say. When the government came into power, immediately one of the things it did was to begin to shut down media houses in the name of their owing certain fees they had to pay and having defaulted. We know the facts will show that there were media houses that were aligned to this government who were indebted, who were in the same circumstances as your radio hosts of this world that were shut, that were not shut. We know how in the NDC regime, they just distributed the frequency authorization like confetti. People who were not qualified to receive authorization license for TV or radio, some of them took it and went and sold them. So when this government came, they also decided that they needed to get their members to control the airwaves. Part of that was, after they did the shutting down, revoking licenses, they didn't seem to have enough because it's a finite resource. So what did they do? They said they are going to implement a policy to cut down on the bigger media houses and take away some of their frequencies.
I mean, is it your fear
so
that
media
this,
houses
this
that were operating 100 radios and more, they cut them to 45.
Yeah, and
so
is it your fear something?
And your give fear, to their own people.
Yeah, is it your fear that this draft bill, which is now before cabinet, may have certain provisions in there that may still be inimical to the interest of freedom of speech and the proliferation of the media?
I haven't seen it.
Okay, stay with me then. Stay with me, because I'm the president of the Ghana Independent Broadcast Association. Hopefully, he's on the line and can hear me. Mr. Sumkomios, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
I can hear loud and clear, yes. So the minister has announced today that the bill is before cabinet and the plan is to take it to cabinet and have parliament and have it passed and the certificate of urgency. You've been in contact with the ministry trying to negotiate an outcome that is fair to all. Is this your understanding of how the approach will be executed?
Thank you, Evans. What we had expected and what we had actually asked for was that we definitely needed to view the draft document and know what is actually contained in it. Because there were a number of things that we asked for, which would make it also protect the media and make it quite rigorous but still fair. So we see the document, it would be very difficult to tell what is inside. And that is a worry, that should this document go ahead and get to the point where it's approved without any comment or input from our stakeholders. And I think we are major stakeholders for the bill. It's a broadcasting bill. And this is mainly the broadcasting media. So the minister, I know they had both, the minister had agreed that we will definitely view it. So it's a bit surprising if they bypass it. So we will see what happens.
Well,
I believe,
but she's,
they should let us take a view and be comfortable.
Well, she's announced categorically that the approach is to have it passed under the certificate of urgency. That means if it goes to Parliament today, and remember that they've already signed signatures for Parliament to be recalled, it can go to Parliament when the Parliament is recalled or when they resume fully. It means it can be passed in a day, within 24 hours. What's your reaction to that approach by itself?
I think we'll stand by and wait, because the minister specifically did tell us that she'll make sure that we have a view. So it can happen, but let's see if it does happen, and then we'll take it from there.
The document that has gone to cabinet, did you have any input into it?
We did have the document from 2019. We did have some input that was in it. We did have an input. But how would you know if that input was even considered? So till we see it, we cannot tell if any of the contributions that were key to the media industry, the broadcast industry, have been considered.
And something briefly, considering how important this document is, and if you listen to the context within which the minister announces the certificate of urgency approach, she puts it within the context of the elections, but the need also to control misinformation and disinformation as part of this broad national action plan. That is urgent, is it not? And isn't that why we need this passed quickly?
No, when you are getting close to the election bills,
Hello, Cecil. Let me get Samson's take on this quickly, and I'll hear your thoughts on the same question. Yes, Samson.
When you get this close to elections, you don't take these steps and tell us that it has to be done under a certificate of urgency. Who created the urgency?
Hello, Samson. Okay. We may have a challenge there with Samson's line, but I still have Cecil with me. Cecil, your comment on that, that it's urgent, that's the context. Isn't it why you need it passed quickly?
Who also, most of them, they don't think beyond their political parties. They actually represent themselves most of the time. They don't represent the people. I'm sure they are getting to appreciate that people are getting fed up with them for the way they continue to conduct themselves. So I think it will be a very bad thing to move under a certificate of urgency when this has been such an important document. As far back as 2004 or so, the project began. What happened? The 2019 bill, the one that we all have, I have a copy of that. We reviewed it. Now, what has happened to it? We need to see it. We need to see it. We must know where we have gotten to with it so that you don't smuggle things in there just before midnight to elections, and then we wake up and you are shutting our media, you know, media space. No, that should not happen. The provisions about disqualification of politically exposed persons, are they still there? Have they been removed from owning and operating media conglomerates and enterprises? Are they still there? Have they removed them? What was the wisdom that led to their removal, if they have removed them? Or now they feel that sufficiently they have satisfied the political class, because it's a finite resource, it's almost finished. So that one can be removed, or we can keep it there and it will have no retroactive effect. We need to look at it and be clear about it. A more significant point, Evans, was the point at which I started. The power and onerous power, unchecked, almost unchecked power, undemocratic power exercised through statute by politically appointed persons, including through just one individual, by the vehicle of the NCA, which in many respects does not pass constitutional muster, but we have allowed, should not continue. The N